Within Gina, we've tried to identify a way of teasing out the best of these treatment options. And unfortunately, it's difficult because we don't have direct head-to-head responses in studies. We have indirect comparisons, which are methodologically not great ways to study drugs. So you're comparing apples with oranges often. The entry criteria for studies are different. Sometimes the duration is different, etc. So within GINA, we have a very nice algorithm and decision tree, which is laid out quite nicely, where we give some suggestions as to what's the right patient. So in my own practice, what I find is patients who are more allergic, exacerbations are not as prominent as we might target anti-IL-5 or dupilumab treatment for. They do well on omalizumab, given a history of A2B, a documented A2B, as well as an IgE level in the appropriate range. And then with regard to anti-IL-5 therapies, patients who have frequent exacerbations, who have an elevated eosinophil count, these patients do extremely well with regard to, particularly to their exacerbations and with regard to the prednisone reduction. In terms of dupilumab, patients who have comorbidities, particularly nasal polyposis, clearly it's a potential benefit. There are some differentiating factors, though. So, for example, dupilumab has to be given every 2 weeks. And although it's possible to give patients or give them an auto-injector so they can inject themselves, some people have said that the reason biologics are so successful is because patients need to come in for their injection. So you get over one of the biggest problems with asthma management, which I mentioned earlier, is adherence. And I personally have some concern that patients who are on dupilumab may not necessarily fill their prescription or give themselves their injection. I certainly have patients who sort of try to game their injections to spread out the time between injections, because some people have a lifetime limit on their extended health plan in terms of drugs, and they want to sort of conserve that as much as possible. So dupilumab has its advantages, but one of its disadvantages is that it has to be given quite frequently. Mepolizumab and rezolizumab are intermediate at 4 weeks, and then benralizumab after the induction phase can be given every 8 weeks. The other very important consideration is how long do you give patients these medications? So some people have suggested that we should look at 4 to 6 months. The challenge there is that if you have a patient who has a seasonal history of exacerbations, and that happens in February, March, let's say, they see you in April, you put them on a biologic and they take it for the next 6 months, doesn't seem to make a big difference, and you take them off it, well, you're missing their high frequency exacerbation. So to be totally sure, we have suggested if the response is unclear that you should actually go for longer. Now, having said that, I think all of us are probably familiar and have the experience of what I've called earlier super responders, people who within a matter of one or two doses have a dramatic response. But unfortunately, not all patients respond in such a manner. And now, of course, we have the option of three broad classifications of biologics. Atezolizumab, anti-TSLP, will probably be available in 2 or 3 years with a different mode of action as well. But now we have the ability to switch to alternate therapies. And that brings with it a challenge as well. I saw a patient yesterday who is on omalizumab and who did well on mepolizumab in terms of exacerbations. But in his words, he said, the anti-allergic benefits of the omalizumab, I've lost them. My rhinitis and my nasal symptoms are not so well controlled with the mepolizumab, but my exacerbations is less. So I'm not sure we can afford combination biologic therapy, but these drugs work in different pathways, and therefore we can expect differential response.